Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Moscalso, and we are here for an open office hours question and answer session for the IRSPT program. And we were originally going to have one of our rounds calls tonight, an official call where we were going to do part five and review that and then have questions. And due to popular demand, we decided to reschedule that for later as the Before Be Gone program gets really into swing, and maybe towards the end of that when you've really got a good picture of how I do it with groups of people, and then we'll go ahead and teach you how to put together your own program. The consensus was that you needed more time to absorb all the information, and I totally get that. There's a lot here, and I like to over-deliver. I like to share lots of information, and I forget that, you know, it's new, and you need more time to digest it probably than I need to put it together, because it's so it comes so naturally to me after all this time. So I would I figured as long as some of you may have had this on your schedule, then we could go ahead and do it. The other reason for postponing was that we have already two other calls related to the program. We have on Wednesday, we have our bonus call with Nina Price, where she's going to teach you about her system of really getting clients excited about working with you and signing up for the program you have to offer, ways to get connected, not salesy, not hypey, no trickery, just really good ways that she's found to connect. And she's a good person to teach that because she came from corporate and was doing a lot of marketing and business type stuff and decided to leave that behind and become an acupuncturist. And so what she did was she used a lot of what she did with corporate and softened it with the whole, you know, holistic connection to people approach, and has been very successful in building her acupuncture program. And she also teaches business and how to get your practices started and going to acupuncturists, and she teaches that at an acupuncture school now. So I thought it was great to invite her to help you guys, because it's more than just the technical skills that you need. It's the, well, how do I get these people in my fold? How do I keep them there? And how do I get the practice building? Some of you may already have busy practices going, but still, I find that I learn no matter who I listen to and no matter how much experience I have, I learn from others. So I'm looking forward to having that call with her on Wednesday. If you can't make it on Wednesday live, of course, we'll have it recorded, and we'll have the recording in the membership site. And then on Thursday, we're having our kickoff, the official kickoff call for the Before Be Gone program. And that's going to be Thursday the 10th, and that's at 7:30. So 7:30 or 7 o'clock? 7:30 p.m., I think. I'll have to look that one up. You'll get a reminder and all that. Now, if any of you are not already activated for Before Be Gone, you should have been already automatically, but if you're not, then I want you to go ahead and email Scott. He can be reached at helpdesk@drritamarie.com. And the way you know if you've been activated for Before Be Gone is, one, you should have gotten an email that said that you were activated. Number two, when you look and go into your membership site, in addition to the IRSPT under the practitioner level, you should see closer to the top of that list Before Be Gone. And if you don't see Before Be Gone there, then go ahead and email Scott, and he'll make sure that you get activated. Sometimes people use different separate email addresses when they sign up for things. I'm not sure exactly how that would happen, but if you fell through the cracks and didn't get activated, make sure that you let him know. So far, we've only opened up the Getting Started module to get people oriented. We're going to give people information a little bit at a time. I'm going through and revamping Before Be Gone as we go along. I change it every time we do it because I like to make it better. I like to take the input that people are giving me and make it better. So we're going to be setting it up so that we give people the basics of what they need to know for people who are in a hurry, don't want to know all the whys and the wherefores, and then have more advanced stuff for people who want to know more. And when you work with your patients and clients, you're going to find that some of them just want you to tell them what to do, and with a minimal explanation of why and how it works, and other ones are going to be asking you questions up the wazoo. And I want you to be able to answer those questions or be able to say, you know, I'm going to get back to you. I know exactly where I can find the answer to that, or I'll research the answer for that and get back to you. So you'll see those people, and that's why kind of I set this program up in a way that gives them lots of background information, because a lot of my patients and clients are very sophisticated. They've been in the health world for a long time. You may get more people that are just kind of new to this whole thing, and you're going to have to I hate to say water it down a bit, but it's kind of like watering it down a bit. So we're going to go through and give like almost like two tracks going through each module, so you'll get to see in action as I move it along. If you've already taken this course or you've already done Before Be Gone, you'll notice the changes. If you're taking this IRSPT for the second time, we invited people back who did it last year to come back and do it with us again, then you've already seen that IRSPT has grown and changed and evolved and improved, and that's what we do with all the programs. So all we are here for tonight is an open Q&A. Any questions you have about anything at all we've covered so far or about what's yet to come on the phone, go ahead and raise your hand with a *2, and then I'll see your hand and I'll answer a question. And on the web, if you have any questions, go ahead and type them in, and I'll just go back and forth, and I'll refresh the questions. So far, there's no questions submitted, so everybody's on the phone. And I suspect there's not going to be a lot of people on this call because most people were deciding that they didn't want the extra call this week, so they had some extra free time. So this might be short. It'll be probably at most an hour. So, whoops, my dashboard just disappeared. Okay, let me do this again. Let me refresh my page. I think my computer needs it. Okay, so we have Eleanor, I think this is, right? You come up as David Locke. Okay, hi, Eleanor.
Hi, good, hi. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. You always have the best questions, so great.
Okay.
I love it. You make
I'm glad.
Keep me on the ball.
And I have several questions tonight, but I'll just maybe ask one to start out and then get some people a try, and then I'll come back on. You know, I have a client I'm working with, and I spoke to you about him. In the beginning, we had some fasting, you know, in the morning readings, 120, 121, 123, 120. Mm-hmm. And recently, I've actually gotten his fasting the last 2 days below 100. I got 97 and 92. So I got started to get really excited. And then today, after lunch, his 15 minutes went up to 146.
Whoa.
Now,
did he do beyond 15 minutes? Did he do the half hour, 45?
Yes, it went down to 102 in 30 minutes.
Okay, so I'm not concerned about that then. I'm almost, you know, the 15-minuters, oftentimes you'll get a real high spike, but it comes back down. And the way I think about it is it's a constantly self-regulating process. So the glucose goes up. The pancreas secretes insulin, it brings it back down. And every so often you catch it when it goes up to one of these high numbers. And I tell people if it seems like way out of whack high when you take it, I take it again almost immediately, and usually it comes back down. So the fact that it was high like that at 15 minutes, but at 30 minutes, 45, an hour, I would make sure that if something like that happens, you always have them just test it regularly until they eat again. And if that's the only high number and it's before the half-hour point, I'm not as concerned because it probably was just one of those temporary glip-ups that he caught, and then it went back down again.
Okay, so he had asked me if it was okay for him to have a green apple with his lunch, and I was wondering if that was why it went up.
Ah, okay, so that's different. So if he was having fruit or something sweet, that will raise the blood sugar up. But the good news is it came back down pretty quickly.
Okay, so that is.
So what I would recommend is tell him if he ever gets a high number like that, is to just wait a minute or two and test it again. And if it.
What he did was he went out, he works in an office, he went and ran up four flights of stairs, it came down four flights of stairs to get it down to that 102. So
he just might have controlled it. There you go. He might
have
going higher.
Yeah, now in the morning he had your blueberry, orange, mint, green smoothie,
uh-huh.
And at 45 minutes it was at 132.
Yeah. That's happened. That happens to me on that smoothie. I can't drink that one anymore.
If I
blend blueberries, my sugar goes. Sounds like he's sensitive to fruit, and the fruit's shooting it up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he keeps asking me, what's going to happen when this is over? Am I going to be able to go back to everything? And, you know, I know to tell him about allergic foods, the six that we have to do the three-day thing. But what about the rest of the foods? What really is the strategy for the rest of the foods? Are we going to introduce it and test?
Yes. Were you on last week's call?
I was, yeah.
Okay. We went over that on last week's call.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I didn't get all the materials up yet. So if you go back and just even look at the slides, there's some lists. So, yeah, basically, it's you go back and you test. What I have in that presentation is a list of foods that everybody should just avoid permanently, right? Like the sugars, the refined foods, et cetera. Then there's the foods that you need to test and then introduce slowly and see if he's ready for it.
Okay, so it's listed in that presentation.
Presentation.
Yeah,
and
okay.
On that page, I'm going to have a really nice worksheet for you that has the columns of foods and which ones are most likely they'll be able to introduce and have no problem with and others that they want to go slowly and carefully on.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like anything else. It's like if you do an allergy elimination, you don't just do it for 30 days and say, okay, I'm good, and then go back and eat the allergy foods. You test them, and some of them you can, and some of them take longer. It depends on how long he's had insulin resistance, how severe it's been, how high his blood sugars were swinging, and also whether it sounds like he's pretty good about the compliance with doing the running. He got that. He got that exercise. How good is he doing with the stress stuff? So I do have criteria for you're ready to start introducing things if, and that would be you've been taking the supplements fairly, pretty regularly. I don't mean fairly regularly like 3 times a week. I mean like every now and then maybe you skip a day or miss a dose, but pretty much consistently that you've been keeping the blood sugars below 110 fairly consistently, and that you're doing the exercise, sleep, and the stress things to keep those things under control. If that's the case, then let's try testing some things, and then I give you the regime for how to retest them. You don't just say, okay, great, let's just start with bananas, or let's just start with dates. You start with the things that are slightly more sugar and starch, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. Everybody's different. You know, if somebody has the genetics that predispose them, you know, that 25% that has to be uber ultra careful, then it's going to take longer, and there's going to be a lot of things they may have to keep out.
Okay. His father died of diabetes. So.
Yeah, so he, yeah. Yeah. Now, this doesn't mean he has to be as strict as he would be during the 30 days, but he's going to have to test and check and create a long-term diet for himself.
Okay, great. I can't believe I missed this whole part. I'll go back and listen to it.
Yeah, it was a big part of it, yes.
Okay.
And like I said, the materials, we had a lot of technical challenges last week with me traveling and all, so the page didn't get put up, but I'm working on it, and it hopefully, if not by the end of this week, certainly by the middle of next week.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Anything else? Let's see if somebody else has a hand up. Okay, I'll go to Leah Tai, and then if you have any more questions, I'll come back with you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm not sure who
Hello.
This is. New York City. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
I wanted to ask you if
Well, first,
but
before
okay.
you begin, tell me who you are, because the names don't always reflect who you are.
Yes, I'm Le Chow from New York.
Le Chow, okay. Hi.
Hi. I found out that I'm pregnant a few weeks ago, and I'm trying to do this on myself first before I can help my clients. But I wanted to know if I can take the chromium, the supplements, when I'm pregnant.
I should see no reason. There's some of the herbs you wouldn't want to take. Like you wouldn't want to take things mm-hmm. like gymnema, probably not licorice, probably not ginseng, uh-huh. Things like uh-huh. that. But I would say the basic stuff, the chromium, magnesium, and DHA, absolutely. Absolutely
okay,
no.
Okay, because on the chromium, is it that you don't take it if you're pregnant on that label?
It says it on the bottle, the label?
It's
don't
said
take
it on
it
the bottle.
Pregnant?
Yeah, there's a warning sign.
Oh, I think
yeah.
a lot of them say that.
Yeah, a lot of them say that.
Vitamin C, don't take this
you
if you're pregnant.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
you
I'm looking it up. Okay, chromium in pregnancy. Learn why you need chromium when you're pregnant, how much you need in pregnancy, food sources. Okay, yeah, I don't see it as a problem. I think maybe you can just start with the smaller dose and work your way up if you're concerned because, gestational diabetes is so common in pregnancy.
Yeah.
And chromium can prevent gestational diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. So this is a, you know, when doing a program like this when you're pregnant is great. This is not like doing like a, you know, 30-day juice fast, which wouldn't be very good to do while you're pregnant, because you, this is, there's plenty of calories. It's really good at keeping your body together. Do you need a supplement?
I've been doing the green juice, and it should be okay. I do green juices, and then I take your smoothie with the protein.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Hemp protein.
Yeah, absolutely. You just wouldn't want to do a juice fast where you're just juicing, right? That's not good in pregnancy. You have to make sure you keep your calories and your protein and your fat up. But, yeah. Well, congratulations. I think that's awesome. And chromium is a very common nutrient to be deficient in pregnancy. But like I said, you know, you maybe start with just 200 micrograms and see how it goes. And if you can keep your blood sugar steady on 200, then just go with 200.
Okay, yeah. All right, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Okay. New York, I hear it. I hear the traffic. Where in New York are you?
In New York City.
Oh, right in Manhattan?
Like Manhattan, yeah.
I went to school in Manhattan. I went downtown to NYU, so I remember it well, and I used to work in Midtown.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, glad you're here, and congratulations again.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Do we have any other questions? Raise your hand. Star 2 will raise your hand. Okay, we have Eleanor. Good. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi. Might as well take advantage of getting all my questions answered. Okay, I have another client who I'm trying to decide whether to do this program with her or something different. She's thin, and she has that little bit that comes over her pants, you know, that pudge, that little pudge. She's you know, in her 50s, later 50s, and she's, you know, one of these people that has a million things going on and works, you know, I would say she doesn't sleep enough, stays up too late doing things. And she showed me her blood work, and her triglycerides are 52, her HDL is 79. She actually had a fasting glucose of 86, and then she had another reading of fasting glucose that was 82. But her, which to me are no signs, but then her hemoglobin A1C was 5.5.
Yeah, that's borderline. That says that her average blood glucose is like 118, 120. So she, maybe her fasting blood glucose is good, but the rest of, she's spiking. There are foods that she's eating or stress that she's under that's causing her sugars to go higher.
And that's what I think, it's stress, you know, the whole cortisol. That's why I thought the belly fat was really the stress and the cortisol when I listened to her lifestyle. So would that be an adrenal thing, you know, that I need to look at more the adrenals?
Well, you can look at both, and you can actually see. So just have her get a blood glucose meter and say, look, you know, based on your A1C, I think your average glucoses are like 118, 120, which means that it's going up kind of high at some point. And are you willing to test and see? And if you can, you can work with the adrenals and with the blood sugar at the same time. It makes total sense, especially since, you know, this whole process, we include so much stress management stuff.
Right. She also has the hair is falling out also a lot for her, too. Yeah, she's got the little baldness on the side. I was thinking it was all hormones, you know, female hormones and adrenal related.
But there's definitely a blood sugar component, or else her hemoglobin A1C would be normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. That was my second question. The other one was, I went through, I listened to the, I don't know whether you call it your kickoff or whatever you call the, what happened, was it last Thursday when you
were
in
here?
Yeah. And I was going through all the slides, making sure I could explain everything. And when I got to the serious consequences of insulin resistance, I couldn't really explain increased cancer risk. Is that because this diet will keep your blood more alkaline? How would you explain this helps the cancer risk?
Well, number one, inflammation. It causes inflammation, and it causes increase in C-reactive protein, which is a cancer risk for sure.
Oh, that's right, C-reactive protein. Okay, so that's what I need to memorize. I forgot about that one.
Right.
Okay. I remember you telling us about that. I have forgotten that. Okay.
Yep. And if you look up, you will find studies. If you were to do a Google search or a Medline search on cancer risk and insulin resistance or cancer risk and diabetes and blood sugar, you'll find a lot of research on that.
Okay.
And, oh, here's the other one. Sugar feeds the cancer cells. So if somebody's insulin resistant, their cells are resistant to the insulin. That leaves the blood sugar high, and the cancer cells are not insulin resistant. So they're going to thrive. They're going to be like in heaven.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, and fat cells never become insulin resistant. I mean, do fat cells use ATP for energy? ATP for energy?
Fat cells don't make energy. They're storage. They just store.
They're just storage. Okay.
Just storage, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one last thing. You know, my client was taking probiotics before he started this because he has metabolic syndrome, and I told him just to continue taking them.
Oh,
is that too much on top of everything that he's doing?
Oh, probiotics are so critical.
Okay, they are.
Absolutely.
Good.
Bad gut bugs will create problems with the absorption, with, you know, speeding up the absorption of sugars. There's so many issues. Absolutely. Probiotics are good for everything.
Okay, good, good. I just didn't know if this was heavy probiotic and it was just too much for him.
Yeah.
Okay, and he told me the first week that he was very tired. And
the first 2 to 3 weeks, people will be tired.
Okay, good.
Okay, because what they're doing is shifting from burning sugar to burning fat.
Okay.
And once that 2.5 to 3 weeks hits, then usually it's like, wow, all of a sudden everything breaks loose and they feel great.
And is he releasing toxins also? Is he detoxing? Is that the other reason why he's tired?
Well, he could be, yeah, absolutely, especially if he's losing weight.
Yeah, he did. He's down about 7 pounds.
Yeah.
The other thing is he's getting a little bit bloated. Is that normal or?
Well, bloated is saying there's something he's not digesting well.
Okay.
Yeah, or it's an allergy. Is he off all the allergens and?
Yes, he is, but he's a fast eater. That's the only thing that I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Absolutely,
bloated.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if he's stressed while he's eating.
Yeah.
So if he's worried, like, oh, is this food going to be good or not good or whatever, he might be creating that. So make sure that you talk to him about doing the heart math, you know, and the appreciation, good old-fashioned grace before meals makes so much sense physiologically, right? So just have him really sit down and really focus and chew each bite. Remember I said that in that thing, right? Chew each bite, eat slowly, and that's going to make a huge difference. Is he very overweight? A little overweight?
So he's like 6, and he started out 219, and he's down to 211 now.
Okay. All right. So he's not obese, but he could use to lose a few more pounds. Yeah. It will decrease the appetite as well, right? Because you get the signal that you're full when you eat slowly and you digest it better. And does he take digestive enzymes with his meal?
He takes, no, only probiotics.
Yeah, have him take some digestive enzymes and see if that helps the bloating.
Okay. I will. And he's not that hungry at night, but he comes home very tired, so he does eat, but he's not that hungry.
Yeah. So when he comes home from work, he's feeling tired, so he eats because he's tired, not because he's hungry.
He eats because he was told to eat.
Tell him to only eat when he's hungry.
Oh, okay. He's trying to get the 3 meals in.
He doesn't have to. 2 meals would be just fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So many people are told to eat the 3 meals or the 6 meals or whatever, and they're force feeding themselves even though they think just really a good hunger is the sign to eat.
Okay. Okay, good. Great advice. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Good question. All right, so we have Skype user in Bakersfield, California.
But here, it's Ghislaine. I don't know if you're talking about me.
Oh, hi,
Ghislaine. About me.
Yes, I am. Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Good. Okay, I would like to discuss some theory about blood sugar. I have 4 books here, one by Dr. Furman, one by Dr. Barnard, one by Dr. Hyman, and another one, I don't remember. Okay, so Dr. Barnard says it's the fat, because of the fat that it clogs the receptors. That's why we are insulin resistant, because we eat fat. So this is the low-fat camp, vegan camp, okay? So they promote grains and starch and beans, mainly, as our main staple diet. And they say fat is the culprit. So what do you think about that theory? Where does that come from, this theory?
I think that processed, hydrogenated, oxidized fats cause the receptors to get damaged. I think that eating too much sugar over time, people just eat too much sugar and starches, like flour products, that causes the body to secrete too much insulin, and the cells try to protect themselves from the insulin, and they become resistant. I don't think good fats are going to clog the receptors. I don't think if somebody's eating really high-quality whole food fats and things like avocados and coconut and things like that, and they're not eating it in excess, I don't think that damages the receptors. I don't see any evidence at all of that.
Okay. Another theory is we can eat fruit, 20 bananas a day, 30 bananas a day. And in as long as we don't eat fat, our insulin won't go up. Our blood sugar won't spike.
I have not seen that to work in theory, in practice. Okay, so I went on a 12-day juice cleanse, right? Where no sugars, no fats, nothing, just greens. And after that, I started eating fruit. And my sugars went through the roof.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go into making someone resistant. And I talked about this last week on our Before We Gone call, is that there's 25% of the population that has the genetics that have to be super, super careful. There's another 25% of the population that no matter what they do, they'll probably never get insulin resistant, and then the in-betweens. For different people, it may work differently. But I have not seen, and I do know that there are some people who can eat a lot of bananas and cause a problem. But I see people who have been on an 80-10-10 type diet, very low fat, lots of fruit, and they're feeling horrible, and their sugars are through the roof. They take out the sugars, and it does better. I see other people who they take out the fat, and as long as they're eating just whole sweets, like fruit, they do okay. But the majority of people that we're seeing are not doing that. They are eating, well, they're doing both. They're eating poor fats, and they're doing refined carbs. So bananas aren't a bad food. I'm not anti-fruit. But people have destroyed their bodies through years and years and years of abuse. And when they get to that point, the fruit doesn't do well. And I've experimented on myself.
Yeah, okay. So those people who, they brag about the 80-10-10, they do video, they show us their fruit, it looks very good, and then they feel good. They have been doing that for maybe 10 years or so. They feel fantastic. So that would be because of the genes?
Probably, yeah. And are they need to check their blood sugars, because if their blood sugars are going too high, then they eventually can have a problem. So I've seen people do videos and they say, look, I just ate these things. I don't have a problem. My sugar only went up to 145. Like, that's a problem. Right? So everybody's a little bit different. If you read Gabriel Cousins, on the other hand, and he has very good success with people with diabetes and reversing their diabetes in 30 days, he takes them off all the fruits and all the starches. So I think that's why I have people test. You can blindly make these theories and say everybody can be eating 30 bananas a day, and as long as they don't eat fat. We need fat.
Yeah.
An ultra-low-fat diet, it wrecks hormones. because there's not enough fat to make hormones. So it's a matter of finding the balance, but the right balance for the person, which is why good old blood sugar meters are what I think work really well, to really let everybody find out for themselves.
Okay, so another question then. Dr. Bernard, he promotes starches, okay? And he has good results with people with diabetes, get off diabetes with a starch diet. So what do you think of that?
What kind of starches is he using?
Whole food like brown rice and beans and...
Yeah. Well, for some people that works, and for other people it don't. If you look at my list, I have those on the list of test them carefully.
Yeah, it seems like they don't talk about blood sugar. I looked at those books. I bought them to have answers, and they don't answer my questions. Like, they don't test people. I think how the blood sugar goes high, or I think they just look at the fasting blood sugar.
They just look at fasting, and that's really doing people a disservice to just look at fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And pre-diabetes can... So there's diabetes, right? And then there's pre-diabetes, which is that insulin resistance phase. But there's also the pre-diabetes, right, which is where a lot of times we're working. So for me, I have an issue with sugars. I would have never known it because my fasting blood sugar is 82. But my sugars were going up after meals. If I eliminate those foods that cause my blood sugar to go up after meals, I feel better, I look better, I sleep better, everything is better. And I'm reducing my risk of the microvascular changes and the retinal changes. So like in anything with health, right, you've got the paleo versus the raw vegan, right? The paleo says, or the Weston Price, there are people that are thriving, on a paleo diet, eating tons of animal products and lots of vegetables with it. There are people who are thriving on a macrobiotic diet, which is 80% rice.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are thriving on a raw vegan diet. But there are a lot of people on each of those programs who are not thriving. They're failing. So I think it's our job is to help people to find the right diet for them.
Okay, so we hear just from people who are thriving, and all the others, we don't hear from them.
That's right.
So yes. Okay, I see.
Yeah, because, you know, we can say there's one perfect diet for everybody. And I refuse to believe that. I haven't seen evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really, it's in our best interest to really be helping people to eat and observe their blood sugar, observe their energy, observe their sleep patterns, observe their gut, observe how their hair is going, and make sure that they adapt their diet to what works best for them.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Yeah, I will never write a book that says this is the way for everybody to eat, right? I think it's a matter of test and check and test and check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so blood sugar is a big thing.
And blood sugar is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Welcome. Okay, so that was, put your hand down. And we have Victoria. No. This is, I keep seeing Lee, and we have a Victoria Lee, but Tracy. Tracy, you come up as T. Lee.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Let me just close Elaine's mic just for a second. She's on Skype, and it makes, oh, there we go. Great. I can hear you well. Hi.
Oh, great. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So I was speaking to my chiropractor, and I referred a client to her who has some blood sugar issues. And one of the things she mentioned was to squeeze lime in the water as opposed to lemon, she said, because it helps with blood sugar. And I just wanted to ask you about that.
I think they're pretty equivalent. It's the limonene.
Okay.
And it's all, yeah, I think. Lime or lemon, I'd say go either way.
Okay. Yeah, I just told her lemon because I thought they were more accessible to her.
Right.
Than the limes
right.
were, and they were a little bit less expensive.
Exactly.
You know? So I just wanted to get that in her body. So that was
yeah, there. I don't know of any difference. If anybody finds that, let me know. But in terms of how they metabolically affect, you know, we're looking at the limonene, we're looking at the vitamin C, we're looking at the way they support alkalinity in the body.
Oh, I did have one other question regarding lemon water.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that it contains quercetin, and quercetin can cleanse your blood? Have you heard that?
Does lemon contain much quercetin? That's a good question. I know onions are a great source of quercetin, and let me just look that up real quick. And quercetin is awesome because it's anti-inflammatory, it's antihistamine, it's antioxidant. So quercetin is awesome. Let me see, lemon and quercetin. I don't generally think of lemon as a good source of quercetin.
Okay.
But it's a bioflavonoid, so I guess it would be, though. It's just there are other bioflavonoids. Let's see. Best sources of quercetin. Let's see. Yeah, citrus fruits are on the list. Apple, citrus fruits, onion, parsley. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good source of quercetin, and quercetin is an awesome food to include. So that may be part of why I started using it there.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So we have Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Is it Christine or Christina? It cuts it off at the end, and I forget whether you have
an A. Oh, it's Christine, actually.
Christine. Okay, Christine.
Some people call me Christina. So.
Okay. Well, I'll call you what you really are called, so how's that?
Thank you. Well, I have a question. I first got involved in this because of the CAFE program, the adrenal thing, adrenal fatigue.
Right.
And what I've noticed is that I'm very sensitive to carbs and sugars and after testing meals and foods. But I had a question about if you're going to do any more on the adrenal, if you were going to look at people's tests or if that's done. Because
yeah, well, we had 3 calls where we did that. And then for anybody else who didn't get a chance to do it, then if you get your test results back and you want me to look at it, we can do that on the vital calls. You've got 2 months in the vital community, and then you can just continue
on. Oh, great. Okay, so the vital calls. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Good, because I guess this is what the real issue is. you know, that it's way off the chart. So, and a couple of
questions. You got your test results back?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I really apologize. I didn't realize it was going to come through an email. So I called the help, I emailed the help desk, and then they helped me. So you got a great help desk. Yeah.
So great.
Yeah,
so it came to
that.
You then. You got the email with the PDF file.
It did.
Okay, cool.
And I was wondering if any of the, I know a lot of this stuff is recorded, the calls.
Yes.
If some of those are recorded, and then I can just listen and see if there's somebody who has the same.
First of all, if you go to the part 5 and watch the general video there, I review a couple of them there. And then there's a few others. I haven't gotten them all edited yet because I traveled and I couldn't really edit them while I traveled, but there's a few more. I think the only one that I haven't edited and put up is the last one. So the first couple are edited, so you can watch those.
Okay,
and the second, the one where I did the most was the middle. I think it was, I don't remember. It was not the most recent call, but the one before that. I did 7 of them, and I actually separated them into a separate.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find the little separator tag that says case 1, case 2, case 3, all the way to 7.
Okay,
and there's
great.
Bound to be some pieces of all of that. You'll be able to figure
right.
out. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I guess that's really, and that's something like I do a lot. And I've just done, and I was also, I moved Well, there's a lot of stress in moving from one city to another.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of, the other thing is that, the house I moved into had mold.
Oh, no.
So then I was stressed from a couple of different ways, doing a lot of traveling and then coming in and getting mold spores in my head and headaches and stuff. Then I identified that. I go, this must be environmental. And then I had the house tested and then all that. So there's been a lot of stress for a long time, but different kinds.
Right.
And then so I see now how these two issues really kind of interplay.
That's right.
And
right.
how, oh, you're like, it's kind of like this, it can be a vicious cycle.
Right.
So you got to start
somewhere.
You got to
get both of them. You got to go both ways, right? So you,
yeah.
you do things to calm the cortisol down. You do things to support your adrenals. And you do things
right.
with diet and you know, the timing of meals and other things to help your blood
right.
sugars.
I'm getting really good at the 4 and 5 hours, the meal timing.
Great.
And then, yeah, so I'm, okay, so you do it from both ends, and that's good to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just basically put the brakes on. I just went, I'm not driving anymore. I think I'm going to take a week off. I think I'm going to concentrate on this.
Great.
Because I was like, yeah, well, you're not. It's not helpful to be dead and try to do this. You can't do it when you're dead.
You can't do it from that perspective, right?
Yeah.
We don't have that. We don't have that version of the class.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad that you're doing that. And if things have settled down, so if you've gotten the mold taken care of, you're not going to move again. If you've got some of that stuff settled, then
yeah.
you can actually make headway.
Yeah. Well, there's one more part. Now they want to do all the repairs on the house. And they want me to move my stuff out that, you know, I never got unpacked. I mean, we literally never really unpacked everything, so I'm going to have to hire someone. I'm not going to try to do this. It's just ridiculous. So I'm going to manage it and by having other people do it and
good.
Most of it. And,
good. And it's because you didn't unpack everything, so then you don't have that.
Yeah, in a way, you're right.
Back.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Oh,
that
good.
Was really good information, and I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And I can't tell, Eleanor, if your hand went up again or if it's still up, so I'm going to open up your mic. Hi.
Hi. I actually didn't, but I did want, I didn't push again, but I do want to make a comment. About, I think the young lady in California was talking about all the different doctors' advice on this. And
right.
like Dr. Bernard is, I guess she's talking about Neil Bernard. He's,
right.
you know, a vegetarian. And one of the things is that it really depends where the person came from. They might have been drinking soda pop and eating pizza every day, right? So
exactly.
So that kind of a diet, it might have been a big change and made all the difference in the world to
Absolutely.
Them. That's one thing. The other thing I've noticed is that some people, a diet works for them for a while, and then they need to change. It's like diets maybe leave out certain things. Like if you're macrobiotic,
yep.
after a while you might really need more protein than a macrobiotic diet is giving you. And so you have to kind of be in
yep.
touch with that sometimes.
I totally agree with you, and I'm glad you said that, because that's the important piece, is that it's where they come from. And if you're coming off of McDonald's and hot dogs and all this, any of the diets will work for you initially, because it's so much better than what you were having before. But then your body gets used to it, and it's going, hey, I'm missing this. Oh, I need this. Oh, this is too much. So I think that that's really critical. And I personally see a lot of people who have been I don't see a lot of people who are drinking Coke and eating hot dogs anymore. And so what I've developed is like, okay, what do we do? Like, this person's been on a raw vegan diet for 6 years or something, and they started out doing great, and now they're not. I'm not going to tell them to give up gluten and give up dairy and eat more vegetables. What else is going on? And then we start looking at the sugars. And I've seen a lot of people who were vegan and were eating too much sugar or too much starch, and we switched their diet, and it worked. There are people who are on the... So, say, on the paleo diet. Paleo diet, if you're going to be on a diet with meat, is the way to go, because there's no grains, there's no dairy, they do eggs, they do meat, and they do lots and lots of veggies. But then after a while, they get so acidic. That's the problem, right? There's so much acidity, and I heard a really good talk this weekend from Dr. Joseph Pizzorno, who's an ND who wrote a whole bunch of naturopathic books and started Bastyr College, and he had this really great scientific presentation on acid alkaline, and that was his point. You know, he said paleo can be, it's good compared to the standard American diet, but it can be way too acidic, and so a modified paleo with less meat, more vegetables, including more nuts and seeds. And, you know, so I kind of look at it as if somebody's going to be on a diet with meat in it, it should be kind of a, like a whole foods, mostly raw, vegan, with meat.
Yeah.
So it's like the same things that we say no to that the paleos do if you're doing a raw vegan diet. But you say yes, you know, you don't go through this extreme of 40% of your diet is animal protein, because that puts you into acidity and that starts to, you know, eat away at your bones and things like that. So it's really a matter of finding the right balance for different people.
Right, right. And you had an adrenal reviving elixir. It was for thinning hair. Is that something that would interfere with this diet, or is that something that...
No, it's totally supportive of this diet.
Okay.
Yeah, it totally is. And it wasn't created for thinning hair, but it turned out to be the side effect. Everybody said their hair came back when they drank it. So go figure. Yeah, and it's a totally low glycemic. All my elixirs are low glycemic. In fact, all the recipes I create anymore work perfectly well with Before Be Gone. I just can't. I have a hard time creating recipes that I won't eat.
And I'm not familiar with the Vital Calls because, you know, I'm new to the whole community. That's, when does that happen? Once a month? Once a week? What are
those? Those happen twice a month, and one is a content call, and one is a Q&A call, kind of like this, where I just answer whatever questions come up. And you get 2 months of it. What we had decided was we'd kick in the 2 months after the Before Be Gone program ended, because you're going to get enough of me now.
Right. Okay.
And you might as well. You're not going to want to have two extra calls with me with all the calls you already have. You're like, what? So we figured we'd kick it in at the end of it, so that would give you an extra 2 months support. So basically with IRSPT, between when that started, when did we start, like the end of August? It must have been the end of August through the middle of December. So if your Vital kicks in, then you'll be going through the middle of February, so August, September, October, November, December, January. You'll have practically 5 months of calls, support included, and then you can just keep going with Vital. And we are working on a practitioner community, but it keeps getting put to the back burner because there's just so much to do, but where it's like Vital, but it's for practitioners.
Oh, okay.
So it would be more practitioner-related calls rather than end users, for lack of a better term, calls. But the content in Vital is just, there's so much, and I just give people small nuggets. Like last month we talked about magnesium was the call, and this month we're doing essential fats and how they can get their essential fats. So it can also give you nuggets that you can, like, oh, that would be good, you know, good way to explain that to my patients or clients.
Yes. Great. And so this was called an open office call. That's just because you had this originally scheduled.
I had it scheduled, and I figured anybody who had it on their schedule and just wanted to come in and talk to me, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something else.
No.
Okay.
No. For those of you who don't mind having, you know, me three times this week.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. So if anybody else has a question, raise your hand, and we have about 10 more minutes. I'll go to the, see if anybody typed in questions in the meantime. Doesn't look like it. I think anybody that's here is on, there's only two people on the web. So if anybody else has a question, last chance to raise your hand, *2, or to type in your question, and I'll be happy to answer it. And if not, we will call it a night. And just as a reminder, Wednesday we have our call with Nina Price. I mentioned at the beginning, and I see your hand, Christine. I'll call on you in a second. Nina Price's call is on Wednesday. She's a corporate person turned acupuncturist, and she's going to share some, you know, just gems of how to really talk to people when you're first engaging them in working with you and really get them excited about working with you. She does something she calls intuitive selling, which is just really getting into that person's space and understanding what their needs are and not being like so over-the-top salesy, but also not being so passive that they don't realize what benefit you have for them. So I really encourage you to be on that call on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we have our Before Be Gone kickoff call, and I highly encourage you to be on that one. So, Christine.
Sorry, I have another question for you.
Good.
So I've been... I'm about to implement the takes a while to implement some of these things when you're like busy working and stuff and you know, implementing the things for the blood sugar, you know, those four things, the list of the top four things. So I'm doing that, but I guess I want to go back to the other part where the stress is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know if you had any recommendations for, like, I guess I can slow down and prioritize. But it seems like that's really, like, doing the adrenal part and giving that the nutrition and then slowing down and prioritizing. Like, the only thing that really has to happen today is this thing, because that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good that you're feeling that way because it's really what's needed. And if you can do that 3-day sleep vacation, that can be phenomenal. If you can schedule that, or at least just schedule 3 days in a row where even if you do have to go to work or whatever, that you can just be in bed for 10 to 12 hours.
Okay.
Even if you can't sleep, meditate, listen to music, you know, do something with your eyes closed laying down. And that
okay.
can be really restorative for your adrenals.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm needing.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're seeing, like, if you do have blood sugar issues and you don't address the stress, you're going to continue to have blood sugar issues no matter how good the diet gets. Right.
Exactly.
What I discovered for myself, it was these five components when I first set this up. And I was thinking for myself, of course, I'm immune from this, right? I could have 3 out of 5 or 3.5 out of 5, right? I was always good on the diet, or so I thought. Mm-hmm. I was great on the fitness, really pretty good about the stress stuff. But I only need 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night. I'm not like everybody else. Wrong.
Mm.
Okay. So we just have to look at that. Like, okay, I can eat great and I can do the fitness and I'm just going to keep my crazy rat race lifestyle and have all that stress on me. It's not going to work and it's going to take a lot longer. It's not that you're not going to get progress with those other things because those are reducing stress in other ways. But
mm-hmm.
it's just know that give yourself some slack. It's not going to be a 30-day process necessarily.
Yeah.
It
and
may
I
take
have
longer.
To, Mm-hmm. I do a lot of travel, and I think I'm just going to cut that out.
If you have the opportunity to do that for a while, it's great. Because travel is
yeah.
stressful, whether it's, even if you don't think it's stressful, like, oh, God, this is stressful. I don't think it's stressful, but, you know, having to get to this place and carry your luggage and pack and repack and figure out food and all this stuff, it is. There's a stress. There's definitely a stress.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed, well, one of the things I noticed, I went to New Zealand.
Nice.
And it wasn't that I didn't have a choice. Like, you know how when people are taking care of you, this was the thing that kind of gave me the alert. Was that you know they're like feeding their family, so they're feeding their family a lot of foods that I wouldn't ordinarily eat.
Right.
So which is like pastas, mashed potatoes, cake, ice cream, all this stuff that I just can't eat. Anyway, I don't eat it anyway. But then I was there, and so I was eating all this stuff.
Oh.
And then I gained, like, weight like crazy, really fast. I was only there for 2 weeks. I went up to 160 pounds.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, my God. And then I didn't really want to eat that food, so when I would go to the grocery store, I would kind of buy vegetables, and they would buy stuff for salads. And salads were a little foreign on their table. And so were vegetables, because they're trying to make their food go farther because they're
sure.
feeding a family.
Sure.
And I saw that, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do?
So what you do is what you did, right? You go to the store and you buy and you contribute to the meal.
Exactly, and that's what I started doing.
And you learn the art of saying no thank you gracefully and graciously.
Oh, my God. So that's when I noticed that I had the big, I was just like super. So, yeah, so the sleep vacation and then, I just crashed and burned. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Great.
I really love how you're thinking. I just want to say that because you're not saying to me, well, I can't do this because I have this and I have that. You're going, you know what? I think I'm going to have to just slow down. And that's really
cool. Well, I do have a lot, but you know what? I want to be alive.
Exactly.
And I want to be healthy. So that's way more important. I have a show on Saturday night. I'm singing, which is something I love to do.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I'm actually going to do anything for that. I'm not doing anything else, all the other work. So.
Good for you. I really love hearing that. And I want to... Something you said made me remember. I was in this restorative medicine conference this weekend, and it was very encouraging to be in a conference where there's a lot of MDs. Some are who are like fully entrenched and are veterans in alternative medicine and functional medicine, like Jonathan Wright and David Brownstein and people like that. But then also these new, like they're just like somebody come up and say, well, all this is really new to me, but it's fascinating. And they came because it was a CME credit for them, and they're fascinated by it. But one of them said, one of the speakers, I think it might have been Pizzorno, as he was talking about the acid-alkaline balance and all this, and he's a naturopath. And he basically said something like, you know, we hear people say, well, I don't have time for that. And he'll say, well, like, which is harder, putting an hour aside for self-care or spending 24 hours dead? And I thought, oh, that's being blunt.
And a lot of people say they'll sleep when they're dead. And, I mean, that's the same, too, you know?
Right, but you're going to have a lot more time to do it if you don't take care of yourself. Do you want to have an extra 10, 20 years to sleep while you're dead? Or would you like to enjoy your life for an extra 10 or 20 years? So
Yeah.
And it's really like we learn from our own experience, right? Our own ability to say yes or no, our own ability to slow down or do self-care, how to work with our patients.
Right. And the other thing that I learned was just somebody said that I had like this Vata constitution. And I don't know the Ayurvedic medicine really.
Well, Vata is like thin and wiry and go, go, go and kind of
go,
cool.
Go, go. Burn yourself out really fast. And I went, wow, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But I was like, yep, I do all this all day and then I might go sing or do a show or go to open mic, and then I'm off to the next thing. And then I'm like, well, then you get to the point where you don't have time to really get anything done because you're going, and that's what I noticed too.
Yeah.
I didn't really have time for myself. And then I had two friends in the hospital, and I was like, oh, no.
Well, you learn to be efficient at self-care, too. And I'm not going to say I'm the perfect model of it because I gave up my sleep to be able to do more. And even though I felt great, I don't think it was as good for me. And I've been taking more time, like going to bed by midnight. That may not sound like a big accomplishment, but I've been consistent about going to bed by midnight over the last 2 weeks. And you find like, okay, what has to go? What, like you said, what do I have to let go today? What has to get done today? And what do I have to let go so that I can honor my commitment to my own self and get some sleep?
Yeah. So, okay, well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Right.
All right. Bye, Christine.
Bye.
Okay, and then we have, again, you know, your name comes up differently, and it was, remind me, in New York, how to say your name.
Lechow? Back to the pregnancy question again. I just wanted to ask you, is it all right to just avoid all starch and grains when you're pregnant?
I think so. It just depends. Like, are you very thin?
Yes, very thin, but I have really, really high triglyceride and total cholesterol.
Then you should. than you should. You can do, you test your blood sugars and see if you can get away with like legumes, like lentils or
lentils and split peas.
But it's totally fine to avoid grains.
And I also have some problem finding the right protein too. Like I get hungry pretty fast if I don't have enough protein. Can you suggest what other kind of poaching that I can have besides the lentils? And I do eat turkey breasts sometimes, and the chicken, like the organic chicken, but not that often.
Okay, so so the lentils and the beans are good if you're getting, if you know it's protein. Now it may not be protein; it may be just that you're not eating enough fat or fiber with that. So making sure that it's huge quantities of vegetables, because that's going to provide the nutrients.
Right, but you know what? Since I'm pregnant, I'm so nauseous that all the vegetables, like the broccoli and the collards and the kale, spinach, it makes me very nauseous.
Did you try various ways of preparing them?
Preparing them? So I tried to do the green juice, which I can take with a lot of lemon and ginger.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing, the green juice.
Okay. You're getting a lot there. Spirulina is a very good source of protein, too.
I just couldn't.
You couldn't tolerate spirulina?
That's like the powder, right? I could use it, powder?
Yeah.
Spirulina?
Yeah. And there's also a powdered green mix from Health Force Nutritionals that has a lot of spirulina but other things in it, very well balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called...
So it's okay to take all those instead of the... It's okay to...
You're fading out a little bit. You said it's instead of...
Instead of eating the cooked vegetables and eating it raw and stuff, because I get very nauseous.
Well, if they make you nauseous, then try the green powders and try the vegetables with, of course, if you blend them, like if you cook the vegetables or you do them raw, make sure you try it with ginger and lemon, because that will help.
Yeah, that's what I do, but I when it's cooked, it's really not nauseous, so I just use the green juices in the morning.
Then use that for your greens, but do it more. Do it more frequently if you can. Do it later in the day, but also for ease, because you probably, it's hard to have all the time to juice all day long, would be the green powders would be very helpful. And the one I recommend highly is that Elite Green Protein, because it's got 16 grams of protein per serving. It's
Elite,
green, G-R-E-E-N, protein.
Okay.
And that's Health Force Nutritional. Yeah.
Okay. Thank
it's
you.
It's very good, yeah.
So it has the greens and the protein, right?
Well, it's the greens is from all the protein is from all the greens. They have a unique
Okay, and you can just take that with water?
And you could just take it with water. You can have it add it to your juice if you want to, or you could have it... with like a nut milk would give you extra calories and extra protein. You can do like sesame milk or pumpkin seed milk or almond milk. Does that sit with you?
Yeah, it sits with me.
Fine. Yeah, so you can do that, but add the green powder to it.
Right. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. So I think we're done. I don't see any questions typed in. So thank you all for being here. I'm really glad. I'm honored that having me 3 days this week wasn't too much, and that your questions were great. And it's obvious that you're absorbing the material. You're really thinking it through. You're thinking how it applies to you. And I think that's a really important piece, is how really going through and having it apply to you, not just trying to take something you've learned and apply it to your patients without first trying it on you. So I honor that, and we will see you Thursday for the Before Be Gone, and then Wednesday for the Nina call, and we'll make sure that you get the information out about what and how to get on that. All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.